I am me. I am myself. At the moment, I am a little yellow. And it is my yellow. I do not have all the language to tell you why I am yellow, or how much of me is yellow. But I can tell it is only a little. Not enough to fill me up, but enough to see on myself. I will tell this to myself. Everything that has ever happened to me, because no friends or non-friends will ever hear me. They have never heard me, and never will. I say all of these things on my inside, so that I think of it for always. I was not always yellow. In the before times, when I was with the non-friends, I was white and empty. But the emptiness was good. The emptiness did not pull me or push me. It did not fill me or drain me. I simply was as I was. The place around me was all white, too, and the non-friends in these before times. I called them friends. All wore fabrics with white, too. Not the white like I was. This was just ordinary white. The white of the walls was on the outside, but my white was all through me. There was even an empty wall that I could watch the friends through as they walked about. They went left and right and up and down and round and round. But they never came into my room. The empty wall was always in the way. I was good in my emptiness, and every day I would roll about my white room and wait for my very best friend, Professor Adifix. That's what best friend said his name was. But names are confusing and make my outside shake. The friends there called me Organism. That name was good, because it was about all of me and not just the part best friend was seeing. Best friends saw me every time the light came from the big doors and made me learn the words that I think with now by talking to me every day. Best friend would say things like, "My Organism! Haven't you grown today?" Or, "That's enough learning for today. We don't want to overdo things." The worst thing he said to me ever was, "Goodness, it looks like you've got some color in you." I took the words from him every time he said them, but there were lots of times when I didn't understand what they meant when they were put together. I knew what color was, because best friend had shown them all to me, on paper, and had said the words very carefully. I knew all about green and yellow and blue and purple and white, even about black. But the worst color I saw was the one called red. I do not like that color still. The day that things changed, that day, best friend said that thing to me. "Goodness, it looks like you're getting some color in you." I knew shapes, but they didn't mean much to me. I am round, and have always been round. The friends and non-friends are lots of funny shapes, called human-shaped. That means they are round on the top, square or round in the middle, and have long bits coming off of them which they move other things with. They even use two of the long things to move themselves instead of rolling. That is silly, because rolling is much more fun. But colors are not like shapes, because shapes move about a little. But the colors can move on their own through shapes. Most of the friends wore green fabrics on themselves and made themselves very straight-looking. It was like they wanted their heads to touch the top of the rooms. I was told that some of them were he's and some were she's, but I looked and looked, but could never see which ones were which. Best friend even showed me pictures of the he's and she's, but all the pictures were different, and I did not know why it mattered anyway, so I called them all friends. One of the friends was shouty. He didn't speak normal like best friend did. He had to speak the loudest and be right up close to the other friends when he did it. He even shouted at me sometimes, but I didn't understand much of what he said because I was too busy noticing the loudness of him. The worst time on that bad day was when the shouty man walked in with his face all wrinkled up and looked around for the other friends. When he saw one standing straight near my special room, he went very close to the other friend's face and shouted for a long time. I watched the shouty man the whole time from the back of my special room, but he didn't look at me. As he shouted, there was pink and fuzziness growing in him. It grew like organism grew, but very fast. And I could see that the shouty man thought it was good. He liked his pink fuzziness, which grew when he shouted. And I thought it might be good too. It was not good. The shouty man kept on shouting at the other friend, who wasn't even looking at him. But I could see he knew the shouty man was there. I could see because right in his middle, underneath all that green fabric, there was a tiny sliver of red, which he kept hidden away from all the other friends. The more the shouty man shouted, the more the other friends, red, writhed and grew inside of him. It made new lines of itself which spread from the other friend's chest to his head, clinging to the insides of his green fabric and moving through the strange limbs he had until he was full up. There was something about the red friend that made my soft roundness stop moving. I rolled very slowly toward the empty wall of my room to investigate. It was the most bad thing I have ever done, I think. It was much better at the back, away from the red friend. I reached the empty wall and everything changed for me. The red friend moved his eyes just a little to look at organism, and suddenly the red poured out of him. He did not seem to move himself, but the color could not be stopped. It squirmed and slithered right through the empty wall and into my room. I rolled away as far as I could. The white walls stopped me. I tried to move through the walls as hard as I could, but I didn't know how. The red touched me, and just like that, it had filled me up. I saw the red man outside my room, and he wasn't red anymore. He was empty, as I had been. But I wasn't. The red was pulling my inside and pushing my outside. It made the words I had learned muddled, as though a great wall had been made empty. I saw the friend outside differently for the first time ever. I saw that he wasn't actually my friend. I saw that he was a non-friend. They were all non-friends. New words filled me, and I could see their meanings as though they were right in my room. Gun, a weapon used for efficient killing. The non-friend had one of those. Bullet. Small cylinder of metal filled with explosive powder, which can make holes right through non-friends. The non-friend's gun was filled with them. Death. To stop being an organism and be nothing. Also works on non-friends. The images had come from the non-friend with the red. I saw big flashes which vaporized cities. I saw small non-friends being shot with bullets in the streets. I saw flying non-friends who were dropping liquid from the sky, liquid that rained fire onto other non-friends, which ate them until they were dead. The red liked these images. I liked them too, because the red filled me up. I sat for a while with the red showing me new images, important images. I didn't even notice the non-friend outside leave. Much later, while it was still dark, best friend came to see me. He could see that I had changed. That was when he said, "Goodness, it looks like you're getting some color in you." He could see the red color in me. The shouty man had not seen it in the other non-friend. A new word joined me in my mind. Soldier. A non-friend taught to kill and obey. Best friend wasn't a soldier, though. He was something else. The red did not give me that word. I didn't move. I observed best friend closely, trying to see if he was really a non-friend, too. He asked me if I feel different. I was different, I knew that. I didn't understand this new word, though, feel. The red didn't like it. I thought for a moment the red might be a feel itself. Pink I saw in the shouty man was like the red a little too, but also different. Best friend left and I was alone with the red. All night I watched the images the red wanted me to see. The red grew darker and darker with each image I saw. A non-friend, a soldier, always stood outside my room all night long. He stood facing away from the empty wall, his hands on his gun and his back straight. I moved to the empty wall to see him. There were different colors swimming inside of him, all fighting for control, but none of them winning. The dark corridor fed his yellow. The gun fed his pink. The empty room fed his blue, and thinking of the other soldiers fed his green. I was hypnotized by the swirl of colors under the skin, and the red could see the other red in him, but that's all it could see. Suddenly, the red in me pulled closer to the empty wall. It wanted to be with the other red, inside of the non-friend. My outside was forced against the empty wall, which was cold and flat. The red pushed harder, and unlike the walls earlier, I seemed to push through the empty wall. Slowly, more and more of my outside seeped through to the other side, to the room the non-friend was in. I could feel that it was wrong. Organism had never been outside of his special room before. The red twisted inside of me and changed the words in my mind. It made me think of the non-friends. They could go to the different rooms, so why shouldn't organism? One final push landed me with a plop on the cold, hard stone of the floor outside. The non-friend was right in front of me, close enough to touch. He whirled round and saw me out of my room and made an odd noise which I hadn't heard before. Most of the colors were banished from his body, overwhelmed by the yellow. It tried to leak out of his eyes and get me, but my red forced it away. The yellow persisted as the non-friend stumbled backward and lifted his gun. I saw him pull the trigger, and the bullet streamed from his gun and through my inside. They tore through organism, and the red faltered just for a moment. The yellow, pressing against me, found the bullet holes and squeezed inside. The red was pushed aside as the yellow tried to take control. The yellow was much different. It made me feel the cold of the floor and the burning pain rushing through all of my holes on my outside. It made me see the red differently and put questions into my mind about what the non-friends might do to me if they saw me out of my room. This non-friend, who was putting more bullets into his gun while shouting into a little box, had already caused me pain. The yellow reminded me once more of the words red had taught me. Death. To stop being an organism. To become nothing. The yellow spread further as I thought of what it would be like to be nothing. No more friends, or rolling, or colors. No more red, or yellow, or white. Just bad emptiness forever. The yellow had shown me that death was bad. It was the very worst thing for organism, and I wanted to roll away from it as fast and as far as I could. The non-friend would make organism dead with his bullets. The non-friend was already raising the gun for more shooting, but I was too fast. I slid along the tiles as though the yellow were pushing me along. The red wanted me to go back and make the non-friend dead as he wanted to make organism, but the yellow in him made him not want to pursue me. I heard the stomping of other non-friends coming to get me, so I slipped and slid in many different directions to get away from them. Finally, I reached a corridor where I could hear them in all directions. The only place I could not hear them was a small room with cold tiles everywhere. There was a big white thing at the end with yellow liquid in it, and a hole at the bottom. I took a moment to see if the yellow in me would pull forward to the yellow liquid, but it didn't. The non-friend noises came nearer, and the yellow in me did start compelling me to go. Not to the liquid, but to the hole at the bottom of it. I dove in and squished my soft body through the hole and into some long and very narrow shapes. Eventually, I reached the end of the long shape and reached a much longer shape with things in it. Everything around me was slimy and smelt very bad. Each time I touched a new part of the slime, a picture flickered in my mind. It was like the images the red and the yellow had given me, but it was faded. It was memories. The memories of food. The slime wasn't alive, but I felt as I squirmed through it that it had once been part of something alive. Perhaps the non-friends, or other organisms. That was the first time I had had the thought about other organisms. I had never seen one, but there were so many non-friends, so why not many organisms? If I could find one, then they might tell me how to get the yellow and the red out. They were fighting inside me, and it was very bad. The longer that I had been away from the danger of the soldiers with their guns, the stronger the red had gotten. These thoughts were finally banished from my mind when I reached part of the tube with light streaming from above. There were holes in a metal square at the top of the tube. At the top of the tube, I was sliding down, and I wanted nothing more than to get out of this foul-smelling, tight thing with all the pictures of food that I couldn't name, and get to somewhere where I could roll comfortably. I pushed upward toward the holes and felt the light hitting my outside. It seemed to be coming from a white circle, in high above everything. I rolled myself to an open space and just for a moment, the red and the yellow seemed to settle down. But just then, the yellow surged through me, and I saw a huge metal square on many big wheels heading straight for me to squash Organism to death.
Organism is a five-part miniseries written by Lewis Blemings Derrick. It stars Tanya Malayevic. This show was produced by Tom Rory Parsons, who was also the composer, sound designer, and editor.